Okay, this is Peter's second letter. The first letter was to the Christians in modern-day Turkey, you know, but I'm not quite sure. I think it could be to the Christians in Antioch, the second letter. Anyway, we'll drop into chapter 3, starting at the first verse and go through to verse 18. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Now, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Now, by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Now, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day's like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to be holy. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Now, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Now, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them as of these matters. His letters contain some things that are pretty hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for reading for us today, Bob. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that no matter where we are in our walk with you, that you would speak to us. We pray you will open our hearts and still our minds as we look to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. My newborn daughter, Willow, she's not here, she's in the kids' room today. Well, she's now 15 weeks old. Well, not so newborn anymore, but I remember over the past year the joy and anticipation of expecting a child. Pregnancy is an extraordinary time that's filled with excitement, hope, and a sense of preparation. Well, my wife and I knew that the baby is coming, the exact timing remained a mystery. Of course, as the months of pregnancy pass, We made all kinds of preparations. We set up the nursery. We bought baby clothes. We went to doctor's appointments. And we packed the hospital bag. Even though we couldn't pinpoint the moment the baby would arrive, we lived with an active expectation. Every day was a step closer to that life-changing event, and we made sure that when the time came, we were ready. For Willow, the due date came and went, but we woke up each morning ready, as if today would be the day that we would meet her. And it got me thinking, how different would our lives be if we lived with that same sense of urgency and preparedness, not just for an important life event such as the birth of a child, but for the return of our Lord, Jesus Christ. This question, how different would our lives be? That question is at the heart of 2 Peter 3, where Peter is addressing a community that's wrestling with doubts about when or even if Jesus would come back. The return of Christ is an event we know will happen, but just like the arrival of a child, we don't know the exact time. Peter's audience faced a similar challenge. They had expected Jesus to return soon after his resurrection, but decades had passed, and they were starting to lose hope. In the face of this, Peter urges believers to recall the teachings of Jesus and the prophets and live with readiness, knowing his return is imminent, even if the timing is uncertain. Peter reminds us that the return of Christ could happen at any moment, and that we should live in readiness, just like a parent preparing for the arrival of a child. And just as the birth of a baby brings joy and new life, Christ's return is the ultimate fulfillment of his promises and the restoration of all things. And so Peter opens up his passage today by urging believers to remember the promise of Christ's return. He writes in verse 1, stimulate wholesome thinking, reminding the church to recall the teachings of the prophets and the commands of Jesus himself. And he also writes the same at the beginning of 2 Peter. In chapter 1, verse 13, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of the body. See, we forget things. It's right to refresh our memory. And Peter here is speaking to a community of believers who are wrestling with doubt and impatience. Many of them expected Jesus to return in their lifetime, but as time passed, they began to wonder if that would ever happen. And in verse 4, we see that some even mocked the idea, saying, where is this coming that he promised? When Peter was writing this letter, it was about 3 decades since Jesus' resurrection. And if people were questioning the timing of Jesus' return after only a few decades, how much more today, after 2,000 years, do we find ourselves in a similar sentiment? We live in a world that's constantly distracted by the here and now, where the idea of Jesus returning often seems like this distant event. Think about the last time you heard someone talk about Jesus' return. Was it treated as a reality, or was it a vague concept that's far off in the distant future? Peter's words challenge us to take this promise seriously. He reminds us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Thieves don't announce their arrival, but neither will Jesus. He will come suddenly, and our lives should reflect that we are ready for his arrival. It's like when my wife and I were waiting for Willow, we knew we had to be prepared. This wasn't a time for procrastination or distraction. It was a time to focus on what truly mattered for the event that was coming. What if we applied that same urgency to our faith? What if instead of putting off spiritual growth, Or instead of delaying difficult conversations about Jesus with friends and family? What if we lived as if it might be today that might be the day that Jesus returns? If we lived that day, what relationships will we prioritize? What forgiveness will we extend? And how much more passionately will we share the gospel? Peter warns us against becoming like those who doubt, those who dismiss the idea of Jesus' return because it might be too delayed. This mindset of where is Jesus? Well, that can lead to spiritual complacency. Without a sense of urgency, we can so easily drift. We start to make choices and we set priorities that are based on the here and now rather than eternity in mind. Areas of our lives that should be grounded in faith, such as spiritual growth, relationships, serving one another, well, they can become secondary to other pursuits. We may find ourselves more focused on achieving worldly success, comfort, or pleasure, forgetting that Jesus promised he would return, and that return could happen at any time. Think about our priorities, our schedules, our relationships. If we knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would we change today? These verses are a wake-up call for us to live with the same urgency and expectancy that the early Christians had. Jesus' return is a sure promise. Just like through his word, the worlds were created. Through his word, he has promised that he will return, even if the timing is unknown. And then we see in verses 8 and 9 that Peter shifts the focus to God's timing and patience. He writes, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. This verse reveals a fundamental truth. God's timeline is different from ours. What may seem like a delay to us is not a sign of God's slowness, but rather an expression of his divine patience. For us, the waiting may feel endless, but God is not bound by the same constraints of time. He sees the entire tapestry of history, whereas we only see a thread. God's timing is purposeful. It's driven by his desire that in verse 9, no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The seeming delay of Christ's return is an act of mercy, not negligence. It's an opportunity for more people to encounter his grace. Think about that for a moment. Every day that passes without Christ's return is another day of God's grace. It's a chance for someone, somewhere, to turn to him. If he'd returned decades ago, how many of us might have missed out on knowing his love, might have missed out on knowing his salvation? So this understanding can reshape how we perceive the waiting. Instead of frustration or doubt, we can see God's patience as a gift, a reminder that he is extending grace to humanity. For those of us that have already come to know him, this time is not a time for complacency. It's a chance to deepen our relationship with him and to share his love with others. When I lived in Perth, Western Australia, there was a running joke that WA stood for wait a while, which was a nod to how everything seemed to take longer there. Even a simple flight to Sydney took 5 hours. But now, in our hyper-connected world, waiting is rare. We live with instant messages, instant food, even instant answers from the devices in our pockets. It's easy to want God to operate on that timetable as well, to expect immediate answers to prayer, quick solutions to our struggles, and to question delays. Yet Peter's reminder challenges this mindset. God's timing isn't about meeting our expectations. It's about fulfilling his plan for salvation And it's about offering more time for people to turn to Him. So what are we doing with this time that God has given us? Are we using it to grow in holiness, to become more like Christ, to live out His purposes? Or are we wasting it, assuming we have all the time in the world? It's tempting to put off deeper commitments to our faith, telling ourselves, I'll get serious about my walk later. There's always tomorrow. But Peter challenges us to see things differently. God's patience should not be mistaken for inaction. Instead, it should propel us to live with greater intentionality. It's an invitation to reflect on our lives and ask, what could I change today to live more purposely for Christ? Let's not let God's patience become an excuse for spiritual procrastination. Instead, let's embrace it as an opportunity to grow closer to Him, to share His love more boldly, and to be ready for His return. Peter assures us that God's promises are not void, it is certain. And though we may not know the exact timing, we do know that each day we are given is a chance to live for Him with renewed passion and purpose. In verses 10 to 13, Peter now shifts to emphasize the certainty and suddenness of this return of Christ. He writes that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in verse 10, emphasizing how unexpected this event will be. The imagery of a thief is powerful and deliberate, highlighting the elements of surprise and unpredictability. Just as no one expects a break-in, Christ's return will catch many off guard, arriving at a time when people are not looking for it. And think about how this image impacts us today. Most of us take precautions against a thief. We lock the doors. We set up alarms. We secure our valuables. But we only do this when we feel the threat is immediate or likely. Well, Peter's asking us to think like that. He's warning us not to become complacent in our spiritual lives, but to take action, the sort of action that we would take if we were expecting a thief. Well, are we expecting Christ? If we are, then living each day with an awareness that His coming could happen at any time. It's easy to fall into a trap of thinking that we have all this time in the world, but Peter is urging us to recognize time is not guaranteed. Peter continues with a vivid description of what will happen when Christ returns. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. This isn't just a subtle change in the cosmos. It's a dramatic and total transformation. The imagery of fire signifies both judgment and purification. It's a picture of everything being exposed and laid bare to God. On that day, there will be no secrets. Every hidden thing will come to light. And the world, as we know it, will be changed forever. This description serves as a sobering reminder. The return of Christ isn't just comforting hope for believers. It's a call to live in readiness. We are accustomed to preparing meticulously for life's major events, a wedding, the birth of a child, or even a career move. Peter challenges us to prepare for the ultimate event, the return of Jesus. Yet, unlike other life events, we don't have a save the date card. We don't have a countdown clock for Christ's return. It will be sudden, without warning, and it will be final. But we should prepare for it in the same way we prepare for other major events. So the question that Peter proposes to us is simple yet profound. Are we ready? Are we ready? It's a question that requires honest reflection. Are we living with an awareness that Jesus could return at any moment? Or are we putting off spiritual priorities because we assume there is still time? It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, our jobs, our families, our daily routines, and forget that our time is limited. We might tell ourselves we'll get serious about our faith later, that we'll prioritize spiritual growth when life slows down. But what if that moment never comes? Living with the expectancy of Christ's return doesn't mean living in fear or constantly trying to predict when it will happen. Peter's message isn't about panic or anxiety. Instead, it's about living with focus and with intentionality. It's a call to recognize that every day is a gift, a chance to do the things God has called us to do. We don't have forever to share the gospel with those who haven't heard it, or to make an impact on the lives of our families and our communities. Every day is an opportunity to prepare ourselves spiritually, to align our hearts with God's purposes. So what does it mean to live with godly urgency? It means not taking time for granted. It means recognizing that every moment could be the last opportunity to demonstrate Christ's love, could be the last opportunity to extend forgiveness or to share our faith. It means being mindful of where our priorities lie. Are we focused on eternal things, or are we distracted by the temporary concerns of this world? Peter's words are meant to stir us into action. They are a reminder that as believers, we are called to live in light of eternity, not in the shadow of the present. If Jesus returned today, would he find us faithful and prepared, or would he find us preoccupied with our own agendas? Would he see a life lived for his glory, or one consumed by worldly concern? The certainty of Christ's return is meant to inspire us to live with purpose, not complacency. It's a call to examine our hearts and ask, am I living each day with the awareness that my time is limited? Am I preparing for his return? In verses 11 and 14, Peter's shifting our focus on how we should live in the light of Christ's return. He writes, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Here, Peter isn't just making a suggestion. He is urging us to align our lives with an eternal perspective. He emphasizes that the knowledge of the world's eventual end, well, that should shape our actions, our attitudes, and our priorities. Peter challenges us to be looking forward to the day of God and to speed its coming, verse 12. This means we aren't meant to be passive spectators waiting idly for Christ's return. Instead, we are called to actively prepare for it, to live in anticipation, and to live lives that reflect our hope in him. This mindset shifts our focus from a temporary earthly perspective to one that is oriented around God's eternal purposes. The reality of Christ's return and the transformation of the world should dramatically shape how we live today. How do we cultivate that sort of life in practical terms? Well, he writes about being holy and living with godliness. Holiness means being set apart for God. It means intentionally striving to reflect his character in everything we do, in our thoughts, in our actions, our interactions with others. It involves a conscious effort to embody values like love, humility, integrity, even when it's challenging. Holiness isn't about being perfect, but about being committed to living in a way that honors God. And godliness is about living in a way that consistently points back to God, allowing our lives to be a testament to his grace. It's about aligning our hearts with his, seeking his will above our own desires, and pursuing a deeper relationship with him. It's not just about what we do outwardly, but about the condition of our hearts and the motives that are behind our actions. And this process doesn't happen overnight. Living with holiness, living with godliness. It's a journey that requires intentional effort, daily surrender, reliance on the Holy Spirit. One practical step is to regularly evaluate our lives in the light of Scripture, asking ourselves, are there areas where I'm conforming more to the patterns of the world than to the image of Christ? Are my priorities driven by eternal values, or are they centered on temporary, worldly pursuits? Peter's words are a wake-up call to take the call for holiness seriously. He's reminding us that living a godly life is about cultivating a lifestyle that reflects our anticipation of Christ's return. It's about letting our belief in his imminent return, if we really believe that, to shape the way we speak, shape the way we think, and shape the way we act. It doesn't mean that we're expected to live perfect lives, but it does mean that we should be actively pursuing holiness and striving to live in a way that honors God. It's about being engaged in a process of growth, allowing God to refine us and make us more like Christ. Whatever steps we take, remember that living a holy life isn't about following rules. It's about preparing for the day when we will see Christ face to face. It's about living with the expectation that each moment is an opportunity to grow closer to him, to reflect his love, and to be ready for the day of his return. And as Peter wraps up his letter, he offers a vital encouragement. Verses 18 and 17 and 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is more than a mere suggestion. It's a call to actively engage in our spiritual lives during the waiting period of Christ's return. Peter cautions against falling into error or being misled by false teachings, reminding believers that this time of waiting should be marked by growth, should be marked by preparation. Waiting is often perceived as a passive activity, a time where we sit idly and do nothing. However, Peter's urging us to view waiting differently. To wait for Christ's return means to actively cultivate our faith and to become more like Jesus each day. This growth involves deepening our relationship with him, leaning into his grace, and expanding our understanding of his word and his will for our lives. We're not merely biding our time here. We are preparing ourselves for the moment that we will meet him face to face. Growing in grace is not solely about God's unmerited favor. It's about allowing that grace also to transform us and overflow into our interactions with the world. As we embrace God's grace, we become vessels through which his love and his compassion flows. And Peter also emphasizes the importance of growing in the knowledge of our Lord. This growth transcends mere accumulation of facts or theological information. It's about developing a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus, spending time in prayer, immersing ourselves in Scripture, and seeking to understand who God is and what he desires. This waiting period is an opportunity to deepen our relationship with God, allowing us to know him more fully. And Peter's warning in verse 17 serves as a reminder of the importance of staying vigilant. We must remain grounded in Scripture and maintain our connection with God through prayer and community. And pulling all these threads together, Christ's return is not a distant possibility, but a certain reality we must prepare for. While the exact timing remains unknown, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's in 1,000 years, the essential truth remains: he will return. Peter's message urges us to live with this truth at the forefront of our minds, embodying a sense of urgency and preparedness that's akin to a couple eagerly awaiting the birth of their child, even when the delivery date is unknown. In his writing, Peter's emphasizing two fundamental aspects of God's nature that should impact our daily lives. God's nature of patience and God's promises. If we genuinely believe that Jesus could return at any moment, our lives must reflect that conviction. As we conclude today, let this challenge resonate with you. Live each day in a manner that keeps you ready, expectant, and focused on what truly matters. Allow the certainty of Christ's return to shape your decisions and actions and priorities. Each day is an opportunity to grow in holiness and to deepen our relationship with Him, preparing for the moment that we will meet Him face to face. Peter's message is clear. Don't wait. Live today as if Christ could return tomorrow, for one day He will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Spirit that helps us to understand who You are. And we recognize we are in a fallen world that is affected by sin. Help us to look at Jesus and transform the way that we think and conduct our relationships so that we might display the gospel in our lives. Be with us as we witness Your love and grace into a world that needs You more than ever. Help us to apply Your word to our lives this week, and help us as a community of believers to encourage each other in our walk with You. Amen.